Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. This is our flagship Tuesday show that we bring to you every single week. And we love to talk about all aspects of self-care. And today I'm talking to Taro Molis, who is coming to us from Mexico, who is a speaker and an author and has written a really interesting book called Life is a Sandcastle that we're going to talk about a little bit. But we're going to dive into a lot of the aspects of mental health and just being happy with your life. And I think it's the new year, it's 2026. And I think, you know, if you're setting resolutions, if you're looking at your year and wondering how things can be different for you or what you can do different, this is probably a chat you're going to want to pay a little bit of attention to. Thanks for joining me today.
Awesome, Allison. So happy to be here and great to talk to you about this, such an important topic.
Absolutely, 100%. So do me a favor before we dive in and just, I know you and I were chatting before I hit record, but I would love for you just to tell my audience a little bit about you and your backstory.
Great. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you, everybody. My name is Taro Molis. I'm originally from Finland, but I've been living abroad or in Mexico, mostly Latin America, most of my life. I'm a citizen of the planet. I definitely consider myself another human on this little
ours. Planet Earth.
Planet Earth, absolutely. Right. A passenger. Uh-huh. What I do, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I design board games, I'm a traveler, and I'm a father, and I like finding ways to live a happier, simplified life. So that is what I'm trying to, that is my sort of current purpose in life, to find that balance and being really happier, as happy as possible.
Fantastic. But you do a lot of speaking, and you've also written a book.
That is correct. Yes, I do a lot of speaking. It started many, many years ago. I was requested, come and talk to us about this or that thing. And then it sort of became gradually something more professional. I love doing it. And also writing is something very, very close to my heart, reading and writing. So I've written this fantastic philosophy book called Life is a Sandcastle.
I love it.
Yeah. And I hope you get to read it. It's also in Spanish, by the way. This was published by Urano in Spanish. So it's
fabulous.
Okay. Coming in Finnish very soon.
Love it. Well, I'll tell you what, let's start here. Let's start with you and I were chatting about this before we hit record, about how important it is to get to a point in your life and you feel not just happy. I feel like happy is kind of an overused word. I think a lot of people all search their whole life and wonder how they can be happy. But I do think that there's a certain place that we come to in our life where we're really more at peace. And we're more like, it's not like we feel like we're doing exactly what we should be doing, but we just feel like we're at peace. And I'm just wondering if we could just start there. Tell me what that means to you.
That is an amazing sort of a summary to start with. And I feel that people are not happy because they define happiness wrong.
Yeah.
So I think everything starts by knowing yourself. I think that's the if you need to have a purpose in life, start there.
Yeah.
Know yourself. And I'm not talking about, what your purpose is. Don't start there, because start with thinking what your favorite color is, understanding if that really is your favorite color or is
that's
it just another thing that somebody put on you. And then when you learn who you are, and this might take hours or decades, then you can start to define what happiness is to you, meaning that you should always define happiness by your own parameters, not what something else says that happiness is.
I love that, because I feel like the way the world is today, and I have, friends in my ecosystem where it's like we have the same conversations, it seems like, all the time. I'll be happy when I meet a partner. I'll be happy when I finally get married. I'll be happy when I get the job, when I get the promotion, when I get to a certain place in my life financially, I'll be happy. And I just feel like when we tell ourselves that, not only does that not serve us, but we're constantly in search mode for the next best thing. And I feel like, honestly, in today's world, we live with enough shiny object syndrome that we don't need to be telling ourselves about that about our life every day, right?
True. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think regarding your point, I think I found a way around this sort of a life hack is that instead of having just one dream or that vision of when I retire, I'll do this, or when one day when I have this, I'd be able to do this. I started to having a million dreams, meaning that I converted even something as simple as, oh, I want to go to the other side of the city to eat at that beautiful taco place that I want to go, but I never do.
Right.
I converted that into a dream. So when I actually went there on Tuesday, I fulfilled a dream. And it sounds quite simplistic and even ridiculous, but once you start doing this, you start getting a feeling that you actually advance in life and you are fulfilling your dreams. And then that taco eating and the going to the moon sort of become the same, and they start having the same value in the long run. And there you feel that you're advancing life and you're accomplishing your dream.
I love that. I love that, where it's like, instead of like continually searching for our purpose, it's like, let's just make a list of dreams. Let's just make a list of things that we want to do, places that we want to go, and things that we want to experience, and start there, right? Because I feel like that's more of a place where we have control over.
Absolutely. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, again, we come back to the first point. Define your own happiness. Define your own parameters of what is important and what is not. And that when you know yourself and you take the trouble of actually knowing yourself, you will learn simple things as what I like and what I don't like.
Yeah.
And then you sort of define your activities around those things. I mean, I find it very simple, and I find life to be very simple. Why it feels complex or complicated is because I make it so. Mm-hmm. Because life can seem even boring at times when it's all good and fantastic. So you want to complicate things, but and it's fun sometimes, but they don't have to be negative things.
Yeah.
So simplifying things, understanding who you are, what you like, what you don't, really helps you define a happier life.
I love that. Okay. So I want to go back to one thing real quick before we move on. You were talking a minute ago about how happiness is defined by certain parameters. I'm wondering if you can tell us what those parameters are and give us some examples.
They are absolutely very personal. And that is the whole key. I mean, what makes me happy could, but should not make you happy. It shouldn't.
Right.
It's like, I always say, like, I mean, you're an expert in health. I mean, diet, what you eat. I mean, what works for you, will it work for me? Probably not. We are totally different. You know, we have similar things. We share many things, but we are totally different. Your system is different than mine. Your way of processing different nutrients is different. Why would our minds be any different? So what makes you happy, or what you define as gives me peace of mind or gives me happiness, they could be totally different to the person next to you, your partner, your family, your parents, you know. So it's really hard to, at the same time, being true to yourself and trying to belong in a society.
Yeah.
There is a paradox there, and it's very strong.
Yeah. So when you talk about being happy on our own and then belonging to a society, you kind of talk about that being two different things. Is that true?
They are. I think what I found by taking a lot of years to know, getting to know myself, is that I realized that self-knowledge is a very lonely path.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you simply let go of toxic people and you understand that this is something I carry, and they're not helping me and they're not giving me anything. So you let go of people. But the good news is that once you actually learn to know yourself, you realize that you love being alone. You know, it's such an interesting discovery.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's a good point. I think that in order for us to really do that, I think we have to kind of take chances on ourselves too, you know? And I mm-hmm. see so many people today waiting for the perfect time to do something, or I'll do that when I get to this point, right? It's kind of like what I was talking about when we started, you know, or when I get to retirement, I'll think about that. And what I like about what you're saying is, don't wait. Make a list of dreams and, like, start now.
There's, as the saying goes, the best moment to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best moment is right now.
Is now, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I mean, the point is, you should start as soon as possible. That is the ideal. Sure. I mean, we live in a society, we live surrounded by things that affect us, people and things and happenstances. But to what grade do we allow those things to affect our way of life, our mood, the things we define or think? So if you know yourself and you can be and learn to be honest to yourself, you can actually manipulate. The only thing you can ever manipulate, your own thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're thinking is really at the heart of all of it. I think we always have to be on to that every day and learn to question what we're thinking. You know, honestly, if you talk to 10 people today, they would probably tell you 10 different things about how they see the world or how they see how the day's going or how they see the weather's going. And that's because we see everything through our own filter, right? And so I think one of the things that we have to do every day as a big determinant of our mental health is be willing to question what it is that we're constantly telling ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Question is important, but even more important, in my opinion, is answering those questions. And here comes something really, really interesting that I invite everybody to consider is questioning everything is very important. I would start from there.
Yeah.
But answering those questions, it's even more important. And here, the answers don't need to come from anywhere. They don't even need to be true. They just need to be answers that allow you to move forward.
Yeah.
Because we all have, anybody I know, and probably you do also, Allison, is we walk around with 78,000 questions in our mind that are constantly bothering us. You know,
what's more is what we're thinking as a result of that is just kind of on a repeat loop. And most of those thoughts don't serve us. Most of it
absolutely.
Is,
and it doesn't allow us to move forward.
How bad it is. And if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen and all of that.
Yeah. So it makes us feel stuck and it makes us feel that we're not moving anywhere. So just start answering those questions with anything. Just give it an answer, decide that it's true, and move to the next question.
Yeah.
And if you need to return to that question a week later with better information.
It doesn't have to be true.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the questions I always ask myself every day if I'm like struggling with something or if something's like really presenting a problem, one of the first things I ask myself is that true?
Absolutely.
You know, because I think we can decide that what we're thinking is a fact when it's really not a fact.
Absolutely. You know? Well, I mean, this is the hard thing about human mind is that, you know, nothing is true. Everything is true. Everything, you know, and therefore one of my most solicited themes or topics that I give, you know, speak about in public is it's called the superpower we all have and nobody uses, changing your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, changing your opinion is the absolute superpower in life. Mm-hmm. Just change your opinion about it. You know, it can be anything.
I think what we decide is factual is simply, I mean, I'm not saying that, I mean, a lot of what we think is factual. In other words, you can go and read it in a textbook and it's right there, right? I'm not saying that's not true. But I think what determines what we believe when you talk about opinions? What determines what we believe? It's simply something that we've thought over and over and over again. And we've thought it so much that we think it's factual. And therefore, it's like, this is what I believe. And that's really what forms our opinions.
Absolutely. Or even worse, somebody told us that is true. I mean, that's the most common thing.
Right.
Our parents, the society, a fictional character, you know, anything that gave us sort of guidance in life.
Right.
And we bought it. And we bought it. And this is what I always refer is that when I was a kid, I was told there's a planet called Pluto. And I never seen it. I don't know if it was there. I had no proof at all, but I believed it. 100%. I drew it on a million little drawings and it was one of the 9 planets. But then years later, it was demoted to a dwarf planet. It's not even a planet anymore. So, I changed my opinion in less than a minute. So if I can do it on a planetary scale, why shouldn't I be able to do it about my own feelings or thoughts or political views or religious views? You know, it's very powerful.
Yeah, 100%. So what are some questions that you could share with people that they could start with? I know everybody's a little bit different. I know that. But surely there are like some general questions that you could offer that we could get started with.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement and it comes in 2 varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
So what are the questions that we can ask ourselves every day when it comes to helping us move ourselves forward, to use your word?
Good. I would start with a simple question, which actually detonated most of the things for me, is that what is my favorite color? And then follow it up immediately by the question, why?
Oh.
Why is yellow my favorite color? And once you understand where that comes from, you will understand that most of the things and beliefs and opinions you have were given to you, were, you know, put into your head. So who are you? And
yeah.
I think that detonates a quest for finding out who you really are, and by starting to define what your favorite color is today.
Yeah, interesting.
And it becomes, you start from there and it grows.
That's pretty simple, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But I mean, it sounds simple, but it's actually quite complex once you get into the nitty-gritty details.
Another question might be, you know, what is it that I really want to be doing? What's my favorite hobby and why?
That's great.
What's my favorite food and why?
Yes.
What's my favorite place to go and why? You know,
absolutely. And those are, you know, part of my chapter 6 in the book is understanding what you like, what you don't. What are your ideal spaces?
Yeah.
Where do you feel at peace? I mean, go there, be there, hang out with those people that make you feel good. Do not hang out with people who make you feel bad. You know, it is quite simple if you are willing to listen to yourself and be true to yourself.
Interesting.
That is the challenge.
It is a challenge. So then let me play devil's advocate for a minute here. Why do so many people then get stuck? They ask, oh, well, that's not an important question, whatever. Why do you think people kind of stay where they are? And they're constantly, to your point, looking for their purpose, which to me, I think is something that people always talk about. And I think it's more, life is more than searching for your purpose.
I agree. I think the answer to that question is very simple. I think people get stuck and don't move because they care too much about what other people think about them.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yes. And here's something I was so fortunate to learn when I was 14. I was, you know, I grew up, you know, the quick growing spurts, and, you know, I became very tall very quickly, and my feet grew very big at some point. And I swore that I was, you know, everybody at school was making fun of me. I was 14 years old, you know, a little bit or very insecure. And I swore everybody was thinking that I was walking around with skis on my legs, right? And then a friend of my father's casually said, I mentioned this to him somehow, and he casually, without even turning his head to me, said that, oh, Taro, never waste time or energy worrying about what other people think of you, because everybody's too busy worrying about what other people think of them.
That's true. I would.
And this blew my mind.
Yeah.
This blew my mind. I stopped worrying about that when I was 14, and I've never gone back. And it's beautiful, beautiful advice. Remember that, and you'll be free. So I think we get stuck because we worry what other people think of you, when in reality, nobody does, and nobody really cares. And if you doubt it, remember that in 3-4 generations, nobody will know that you ever existed.
That's pretty powerful. 3 or 4 generations, no one will know that you existed. I think that's motivation enough to want to make the most out of your life, right?
Absolutely. to make yeah. most of right now. The yeah. only moment you can ever do anything about your happiness is right now.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. So you've written a book, Life is a Sandcastle. You told us about that. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect in the book, because I'm sure people listening will want to get it. And I'm sure it's on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon. Absolutely. Okay. You can find okay. it in both languages currently. And it's a book that I wrote to remind myself that I should not try to control the things that I cannot control.
Interesting. Okay.
To me, life, everything in life can be seen as a sandcastle, is something that I dedicate time and energy and love to build and details. And I spend so much of me on it. And then comes a wave and takes it all away in a 1 second. What do I do? That is, I mean, do I cry about it for the rest of my life? Do I let it go and build another one? And I think it's a beautiful metaphor to sort of understand that nothing in life is permanent. Everything yeah. is temporary. So let go, build another one, move ahead, just let it go and get another coffee yeah. or get another life or, you know.
Yeah, we get married to our stories a lot. I hear this from a lot of my clients. It's kind of the same story. And I get it. It kind of, you know, what happens to us and our experiences really shape us. They shape what we think of the world, what we think is possible for us. But we also can get like married to that story. And to your point, it's very possible to change your story too, you know, if you're willing to do what it takes.
Absolutely. And I please remember that nobody will remember you in 3 generations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep that in mind. And people who need to, I mean, have this horrible feeling of, I need to leave a legacy. I need to be remembered.
Yeah.
I think it's such a problem. I think it's such a, you know, the world has maybe created this concept of you have to leave influence. Yeah. You have to make
a mark.
What are
you going to leave behind for the next generation?
Yes.
Which I think is important. But I think at the same time, it's only a part of what you're here to do. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, talking about legacies, I always tell people is, don't judge me by my medals or accolades or accomplishments or my bank account. Judge me by my children.
Yeah.
So how they turn out to be, if they become loving, empathetic, good people, whatever good might mean, but you know, in the concept, then I managed to live well
yeah.
because I was an example to them. I showed with my example, not only with my words or instructions, how to be a good human being and
yeah.
empathetic and help others, etc. So judge me by them. Do not judge me by my titles or companies.
Yeah. Well, but I also think too that we have to decide how we want to be remembered. What do we want people to say about us when we're not here anymore? And for me, it's always about who have I helped? Whose life have I helped make better? How am I making my mark in my industry? That's my legacy, right? How am I leaving behind the industry that has given so much to me, the field that I work in, right? It's like, am I leaving it better than how I found it, right? And then I also think that there's a part of me that, like, you know, not just family and friends, but like, what do I want people to remember me for? You know, they might not remember everything about me, but they will remember something that I did, right?
Hopefully. But I personally believe that it's quite pointless to focus on. I mean, we should all have our eulogies yeah. when we're alive. We right. should have our funerals when we're alive so people can tell finally the truth. Oh, I always yeah. loved you. Why didn't
There's
you tell me when
thought.
I was alive?
Have your funeral while you're alive.
Yes.
That's a profound thought.
Have your funeral yeah. while you're alive. So
yeah.
I think when we die, I mean, I couldn't care less what people think of me at that stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you know, I hope my children are well off and I hope, you know, the world gets better. Sure. But, you know, being dead is like being stupid. It's only hard for the others, right? You know,
well, I think it's important that we be examples to, you know, everybody that we encounter.
Absolutely.
You know, we should be examples to our clients, to the communities that we serve, to the people that we help, you know, for people who don't have children. It's like,
absolutely.
You know, I don't have children, but I teach at the college level and I'm around students and young people on a regular basis. And so for me, it's always like, what kind of example can I be to them?
Absolutely. And those are the children you influence and those
it,
are the
right.
people you influence.
Yeah.
But here we go. You just said the key point. You are doing it while alive.
Yeah.
We are alive. We're doing it alive.
Yeah.
So do not worry about the legacy. Do not worry what happens
yeah.
to you after
That's
you die.
Really
you
point.
Will be dead. You yeah. won't care.
Yeah.
Live now. Do it now. Do the best you can with
yeah.
what you can, and then everybody wins. You know,
well,
I
we only
agree.
Have one life anyway. And I don't
I believe we do.
There's a magic perfect time for anything. I think you decide that it's time and you do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. And you keep going. You know, that's my favorite word is resilience. You know, you fall down, you get up, you keep going, you fall down again. Enjoy being down for a second, or, you know, take the, you know, make lemonade out of the lemons that life throws you. And I think there is some truth to that
saying. Do you ever do the one word challenge every year? Do you know the book One Word by John Maxwell?
It rings a bell,
really,
but I'm not
small
sure.
Small book. It'll take you an hour or 2 hours, maybe tops, to read it. But I always do the one word challenge every year. And I'll probably be recording an episode in the spring about my word for next year, because I don't really tell anybody initially what my word is. I usually let it find me.
Okay.
But I'll use this year as an example of 2025. It's like, I usually wait a month or two into the new year before I decide what my word is. And it usually finds me. And so this conversation is kind of reminding me of the way that I find my word, because it's really about what I'm doing and how I'm being and the example that I'm being and what am I learning and how is it impacting who I am in my life, right? And so this past year, my word has been expansion. And I literally read an article, and expansion kept jumping out of the article. And I thought, okay, I hear you, universe. This is a word I need to think about. And then literally, I'm not kidding you, starting the next week, everywhere I looked, expansion was jumping out at me. Not as a word, but as part of the experience. Like, I was getting opportunities that were forcing me to expand. I was doing things that was forcing me to look at how I was going to expand down the road. It was like all of that, right? And so this conversation is reminding me a lot of how we find our one word for people that do that challenge. So I'm just curious, we're recording this in 2025. Can you give me a word that's been like your word for this year? Or is that something that you're even open to?
Yes, absolutely. I'm open to that. And it's been a very particular year for many, many reasons for me. I think most years are. But to me, the word for this year, it's change. It is, it's change, because even if I'm an advocate for change and I understand its power and I'm very able to change many, many things, there are some things that I have not been able to change, and I'm working on them right now. And I've managed to go bounds and leaps in my open opinion. So absolutely, change, profound change is 2025 for me. It's been amazing.
Great.
Difficult, hard.
Yeah.
It's tears and laughter, but it's so worth it. I'm still on the road.
It always is. It's always worth it. You have to come through it first before you can actually teach it and be the example of it, right?
Yeah.
The universe.
Winston Churchill said it.
Totally.
Winston Churchill said it so well. Sorry. Winston Churchill said it so well. He said, "When going through hell, keep going."
Keep going. Right. Absolutely. Well, and so it's 2026. You know, it's the start of the new year. So for people out there listening, are you thinking about a word for yourself for this year?
I think this year will be sandcastle. I think I'm gonna build. I'm gonna build without fear of it falling down.
It.
I'm gonna build. Yeah. I'm gonna try to fall in love. I'll try to, you know, launch myself into situations where I'm vulnerable, where I can fail. When I open myself to failure,
that's where the growth happens. That's where that you expand your capacity, and that's really what it's about.
Absolutely. So I think sandcastle will be my word for this year.
Okay. Any parting words for our listeners? Like any pieces of advice, little tips, pieces of advice, strategies, bite-sized nuggets that people can walk away with?
I will give you two pieces, if I may. Okay. First of all, I will give you a practical way of how to make a decision. So if you're ever in a, you know, situation, especially a social situation where you're wondering what you should do, like, should I do this or that? And I don't know, you're taking into consideration too many things. Do what I started doing when I was like 15. I projected myself standing in a deserted island. And I made this question again. And the answer was always obvious, because there was nobody else around or nobody else affecting my decision about it. So I made the decision in the imaginary deserted island, came back to the reality and said what I had decided, and it always was the right answer.
Yeah.
So try that. It's a very, very powerful, simple tool that you can use from now on. So please try that. And as a closing phrase, I would love to just remind people that if you have to regret something in life, if you have to, you don't have to, but if you absolutely insist that you want to regret something in life, make sure it's something you did. Prohibited to regret something you did not do.
Oh, that's a really good way to look at it. I think you remember more the things you didn't do than the things you did do.
Yes. So stop doing that. If you want to do something, do it or ignore it.
Or
never regret anything, things that you did not do.
I love it. Okay. Thanks so much for making time to share your story. Really good, like, tips and pieces of advice, like, throughout this episode. So really, really appreciate it. How can people connect with you?
Please find me on LinkedIn. I that's the platform I mostly use. I enjoy it very much. So you can find me as Tero Molise. Some social networks, I'm in some of them, you can find me as Life is a Sandcastle on most of them. But LinkedIn is my favorite one. And please do get the book, read it. I would love to have a conversation with you about it. And I promise it will make you think differently.
I love it. Well, we'll definitely, we have that link dropped in the show notes. So for people listening, you want to grab a copy of the book, just go ahead and do it now. Don't tell yourself you'll do it later because you'll forget. You know,
there you go.
Thanks so much for making time to talk with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alice. And it was a pleasure to talk to you. And let's have a conversation again soon.
Yeah, totally. So for everyone listening, there's just lots of golden nuggets in this episode. So you definitely want to check the show notes, get your copy of Life is a Sandcastle. You can connect with Tero on LinkedIn. You can find that in the show notes as well. You can just, if you're on LinkedIn, you definitely want to make that connection. And on that note, if what we talked about today really resonated with you, look, it's early in the new year. You're setting goals. I don't know if you're a New Year's resolution person or not. I'm usually not, because I just prefer to use the process of evaluating my goals throughout the year rather than deciding that January is the time to do something different. But if that's you and this conversation really landed with you, and you know someone in your world who you think this conversation would help, I would really recommend that you copy the link. Send it to them as a free gift from me. We're on every podcast platform there is. So wherever you're listening to me, odds are we're on all the other ones as well. Or you can reach out to me on my site, www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. And just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and connect with me. And we'll be happy to do it for you if you'll just tell us where you want it to go. So this is how we've been able to reach so many of you across the globe and why I love hearing from you guys every single week. So if you have any feedback for us, we're always open to hearing that. And if you're feeling inclined to leave us a review, we would love that as well. This is Allison Kaczkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.